بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد continue from where we left off in our previous class introduction to our study of the great treatise ثلاثة الأصول وأدلتها by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab التميمي رحمه الله تعالى ثلاثة أصول وأدلتها What's the difference between ثلاثة أصول وأصول الثلاثة And from the work of the author, not linguistically or anything like that. Are they the same? Sometimes we hear that we're studying the book, maybe someone would say, what book are we studying tonight? Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Sorry? Somebody might say, oh, Thalatha al-Usul. Are they the same thing? Thalatha al-Usul. Ayuah, Naam. Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, Hafidhullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his explanation of Thalathat al-Usul that the author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhabi, has two works, Rahimahullah, with similar names. And the content also is similar. One of them is known as Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Bin-Nat wal-Man'ud. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. The three fundamental principles. He mentioned that this one is a very small text that was written by the author for the beginning of students and likewise for children. And it just contains the three issues. Man Rabbuk, wa ma dinuk, wa man nabiyuk. It just contains these three issues. It's a very brief and short, concise treatise entitled Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. So that's referring to this small text, which only covers the issues Man Rabbuk. إذا قيل لك من ربك فقل ربي الله الذي رباني ورب جميع العالمين بنعمه and to the end of the small treatise which is actually a portion of this here but the one that we're reading from he mentioned that this one is entitled ثلاثة أصول ثلاثة أصول بالنكرة وأدلتها or sometimes he said and mentioned that maybe you say ثلاثة الأصول وأدلتها that's referring to this treatise here And it has Al-Usul al-Thalatha in it, but it's a bigger version with more detailed evidences. And likewise, before Al-Usul al-Thalatha are mentioned, there are three introductions, all of them beginning with I'lam. The first two, I'lam rahimakallah. I'lam rahimakallah. The last one, I'lam, arshadakallahu li ta'ati, or ila ta'atihi. Like this. These are three introductions that he placed in front of the actual treatise Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. So we'll begin reading whenever he mentions I'lam. He'll begin with the Basmala, then he says I'lam. This is an introduction. One of three. The first introduction here is with regards to the obligation of knowledge and application of that knowledge and calling to that knowledge and being steadfast upon that knowledge and the application of that knowledge and calling that upon that knowledge or calling to that knowledge until death. And the methodology of success for an individual in this life and the clarification of the means that lead to failure, and success and failure. Who wants to be a winner? Who wants to be a loser? He mentioned here in the first treatise the means to be a winner in this life and in the hereafter, and likewise the cause for one to be a loser, ya'adhan billah, in this life and the hereafter. That's in the first treatise. The second treatise he talked about, again, his si'lam, rahimakallah. And he discussed here, at-tawheed bin naw'ayhi. So that we have a good background of this text that we're studying, because we want to learn this text good and well. That way we can apply it and live upon it and be successful in our life. And likewise, we can call our family and teach our family and teach our children in our homes. هَذِهِ الْأُصُولُ وَهَذِهِ الْمُقَدِّمَاتِ وَهَذِهِ الْمُهِمَّاتِ مُهِمَّاتِ الدِّينِ And so that we can build the tree of Iman in our heart, so that it will be established firm and beneficial for us in this life and the hereafter. So the second treatise, the author, he talks about التوحيد بنوعيه. التوحيد بنوعيه وأصل وأصل عظيم الذي هو الولاء والبراء. He talks about توحيد, both types of توحيد, and the second رسالة. Both types of توحيد, العلمي والعملي. العلمي والعملي. And then about الولاء والبراء. And the third treatise, اعلم أرشدك الله. نعم, this one is about the clarification of Al-Hanifiyya, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then he begins after that, Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Then he began after that, Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Naam? So this treatise here, it has three introductions before Al-Usul al-Thalatha. All of them are just as important. And we've seen the reality of these fundamentals here. That the one who has them, they are the means for success in this life. And the one who fails to have them, then this is the means for failure. This is the means for failure. That Allah Azza wa Jal, يُثَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He makes firm those who believe with a firm statement in this life and in the hereafter. And He leads astray those who are oppressors, oppress their own souls with disbelief, or oppress their own souls with sins and transgression, and Allah, He does what He wills. And Allah, He does what He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about this before this verse, the issue of the iman in the heart of a believer. And we know that the iman is, it has usul and foundations. And the reality of the deen is it's based upon foundations, just like a tree. Just like a tree, Allah, He made the example, as we have seen previously. But to make this clear and to understand that the guidance that Allah, He makes firm in the hearts of the believers is knowledge. It is knowledge. They have knowledge and they reach by way of that knowledge from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, certainty. They have knowledge, but it's certain knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Allah and His Messenger. Knowledge of His deen. Knowledge of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the reality of that is to know at Tawheed, both parts of it. And to apply that. And to know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow him. And to know the commandments and the prohibitions, and to have allegiance for that. And to love everything that this necessitates, and to dislike everything that opposes that. And this is the iman in the heart of a believer. If it is firm in the heart and strong, then the iman will be strong and it will be much benefit for that person. But if not, then he will have danger. He will be in danger in this life and the hereafter. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. الْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And this is to understand, and also Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the usul al-thalatha. To know Allah, to know His Messenger, to know the deen of Islam. This is what is necessitated by a person when he says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this is what he will follow. And then plus he has to get ready, because based upon that, understanding will be how well he is steadfast in this life. How well is he steadfast in this life? Because in this life there are trials and tests. There are things that are decorated and the soul likes and desires them. They're not permissible as a test. If the iman is firmly rooted in the heart, that the body parts will be able to refrain from those things and stay away from them and refuse them. The heart will call for them, but because the iman in the heart is greater and the love for Allah is greater than the love of the own soul, it will prohibit itself and it will refuse to obtain those things that the heart calls for or that the soul desires, knowing that they're impermissible and knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla in His greatness, knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla in His authority, and that He sees and hears all things, and that He will hold accountable. There's angels that are writing, and that there's accountability on the day of resurrection. So on and so, out iman in the heart, it prohibits that person. He'll want to look, he'll stop. He'll want to speak, he'll stop. The iman, if it's firm, it will prohibit him from falling into desires and winds and whims, shahawat. Likewise, the shubuhat. Same way, he will be able to see them and know it's falsehood and not even give any concern for them. And he will refute them and he will disbelieve in them immediately, because he knows there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Because he knows that Muhammad is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of Allah. Because he knows the commandments of Allah and the deen of Allah. Al-halal bayin wal-haram bayin. And he knows that and it's clear for him. So he's upon clarity in his deen, and he worships Allah upon clarity, and he calls to Allah upon clarity, and he invites the people and his family and his loved ones and that are his relatives to Allah upon clarity. This is the one that has the iman in this life. And also because of this, at the time of death, he will also be given steadfastness. At the time of death, also he will be given steadfastness, and he will die in a good manner, upon a good ending. And whenever he's in the grave, likewise he will be given steadfastness. All because what? Because he knows Allah. And because he knows his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he knows the Messenger. He tasted the sweetness of Iman. He tasted the sweetness of Iman and he lived upon that. And he strived to obtain that and keep that safe in his life until he met Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like this is the one who was honored. So these usul are very important. Rather, they are the deen. They are the deen. They are the deen. That is very important to understand that they are the deen. يعني الأصول الثلاثة هذه أصول الثلاثة يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة يعرفها ويعمل بها. It's obligatory upon every male and female Muslim to know them and to apply them. To know them and to apply them. So we begin now. The author, he began with the Bismillah. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. He began in this manner, following by the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, he began his book in the same manner. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to begin his treatise like this, and he would send letters to the leaders. He would send letters to the leaders like he sent to Hiraql, as is in the first chapter in Sahih Bukhari, Bad al-Wahi. He sent a letter to Hiraql, and he began like this, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, min Muhammadin Abdullahi wa Rasuli, ila Hiraql Adim al-Rum. And then he mentioned, As-salamu ala man ittaba al-huda. As-salamu ala man ittaba al-huda. And then he called him to Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would begin in this manner like this. And likewise, the prophets before, they would begin like this, their treatise with the basmala. What dalil? Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah al-Naml. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned the story of Sulaiman whenever he sent a letter to the queen. And he sent it like this, Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah, what is the meaning of the word Allah? Aywa. Al-Ma'bud. Who al-Ma'bud al-Haq? Naam, what did Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma say about this name? Allah, the word Allah. Tabari, he mentioned. This is review. We took this in Al-Qawa'id. Al-Arba' Aywa. Dhu Ahsant. Aywa. This is what Abdullah ibn Abbas, he mentioned about the meaning of the name Allah. It means Dhu al-Uluhiyya wal-Ubudiyya ala khalqihi ajma'in. This has, you know, there's two parts here. Dhu al-Uluhiyya, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has al-Uluhiyya, divinity. Meaning that He is the one who possesses all of the attributes of perfection. He is the one that has the perfect life, and He does not sleep, when He does not get tired, and He does not need food or drink. نعم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نعم وهو الذي يطعم ولا يطعم سبحانه وتعالى الرزاق ذو القوة المتين سبحانه وتعالى. He has the perfect life. There's no deficiency in His life or in His attributes whatsoever. سبحانه وتعالى. Not in His knowledge and not in His wisdom, not in His might and not in His power, not in His strength, not in His hearing. All of His attributes are attributes of perfection. The peak of, they're the attributes of perfection, and absolutely no deficiency whatsoever. ذو الألوهية, deserving to be worshipped. Huh? Deserving to be worshipped. والعبودية على خلقه أجمعين. And He has servitude, and that His whole creation is in servitude to Him. That everything worships Him, either willingly or unwillingly. That everything comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla as a slave. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who's worthy of worship. Alillah al-Haq, Alillah al-Haq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, the most gracious. And this is in the case that He has mercy, vast mercy. Naam, encompassing all of His creation. وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا وَرَحْمًا. You have encompassed all things with knowledge and mercy. Everything in its existence is in existence because of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has allowed it, and He has created it, and He has brought it into existence. And He has mercy for all things in this life. That His mercy has encompassed all things in this life. But then, Ar-Rahim is the one who gives His mercy to whom He wills. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And he is merciful to the believers. This is a specific type of mercy. If you remember in Al-Qawa'id Arba, we were discussing the issue of the mercy and its two types. Who can remember? The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Huh? Khassa wa There's a general all-encompassing mercy that even those who disbelieve in him benefit from this mercy, and then there's a specific type of mercy. What is that specific mercy? Now, for the believers, what is the reality of that? Al-Khasa, Al-Rahma, Al-Imaniyya. Al-Rahma, Al-Imaniyya. He has mercy on them and he guides them to believe in him. He guides them to know him and to know his names and attributes. He guides them to know his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believe in him. He guides them to do the good deeds that are pleasing to him. He guides them to Iman. Iman. Ar-Rahma al-Imaniyya. This is the special mercy that Allah azza wa jal, he gives whom he wills from his creation. You cannot buy it. You can't buy it. This is a mercy from Allah azza wa jal, guidance. Guidance and Iman is a favor and a blessing and a great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah. الرحمن الرحيم. So the author, he began, he says, يَعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلٍ. Know, may Allah have mercy on you, that it is obligatory upon us to learn four issues, four affairs. الأولى العلم وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. The first issue, he says, رحمه الله, is knowledge. And that is, and the meaning of knowledge or the reality is the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the knowledge of the religion of Islam bil adilla, with proofs. Bil adilla, this is referring back to all of that, not just al Islam. Bil adilla, yani ma'rifatu Allahi bil adilla, wa ma'rifatu nabihi bil adilla, wa ma'rifatu din al Islami bil adilla, all of it with proof. Knowing Allah with proof. Knowing who Allah is with proof. The deen is based upon masail with dalail. Masail with dalail. Issues and their proof. This is the religion of Al-Islam. Issues and proof. Mas'ala wa daliluha. Mas'ala wa daliluha. This is the case and this is the way the author he is teaching us. Now, so he says the reality here of this knowledge is to know Allah and to know His Prophet and to know the religion of Al-Islam with proofs. With proofs. And he proofs from where? Al-Quran. Was-sunnah. Naam. He says, الثانيه العمل به. The third affair is to apply that. الثالثة الدعوة إليه. The third affair is to call to it. الرابعة, the fourth one, الصبر على الأذى فيه. And the fourth affair is to be patient upon that, the harm in that way. To be patient upon the harm in that way. والدليل قوله تعالى. And the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. He said, and the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High in the name of Allah the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. والعصر, I swear by the time. العصر is the time. نعم, by the time. That verily all mankind is in loss, except for those who believe and work righteous deeds and cooperate together and joining one another the truth upon one another and enjoining patience upon one another. And calling one another to the truth and calling one another to patience. And calling one another to patience. He says, قال الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى. الشافعي, he mentions, may Allah have mercy on him. لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. If Allah had not revealed, Imam Shafi'i, he mentioned here, if Allah had not revealed any proof upon his creation except for this chapter, it would have sufficed them. He says, وَقَالَ الْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَابُونَ الْعِلْمُ قَابَلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَابَلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. So he said here the statement of Al-Bukhari that he mentioned in his Sahih Bukhari, the chapter that knowledge precedes speech and action. That knowledge precedes speech and action. And the evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High. Know, Allah, he says, فَعْلَمْ, know. You must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah and seek forgiveness for your sins. So he began with knowledge before speech and action. He began with knowledge before speech and action. So the author, he began in this manner, I'lam. And he does this very often in his works. You'll find him beginning with the statement here, I'lam. And then making supplication for the student or the reader or the listener. I'lam, the ulama, they mention here, it means ta'allam. I'lam. Whenever there's a command to know, that means that's a command to learn. That's a command to learn. I'lam, ta'allam. Ta'allam means learn. Naam, I'lam rahimakullah. Know, may Allah have mercy on you. This methodology, Allah Azza wa Jal, He used this methodology in His book in many verses. يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah, He mentioned in His book, know that Allah is severe in punishment, and know that He is also forgiving and merciful. Forgiving and merciful. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُمْ. Know that this life is nothing but play and amusement. And in many verses in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal, He began like this. The ulama, they mentioned that this methodology and teaching like this, this is to draw the attention to the listener. I'lam, yani ta'allam hadha shay. No, meaning that there's something very important that's going to be mentioned after that. There's something very important that's going to be mentioned after that. So it's to draw the attention. And then the author, he followed that up by saying, rahimakallah, rahimakallah. And this is the methodology of the people of knowledge. This is the methodology of the people of knowledge, that they make dua for the students, and they make dua for the people that they are calling, and they make dua for the people that they are teaching. And it's very suitable here that he made dua for them for mercy. Rahimakallah. Rahimakallah. Because the ulama, they mentioned that al-ilm rahimun bayna ahlihi. Al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi. Rahim, يعني هنا بمعنى القرابة, is a tie of relationship. The word رحمة, it means to show mercy. رحمة يرحمو, يرحمكم الله. May Allah have mercy on you. الرحمة is mercy. But الرحم also is the womb, where the baby, the child is born in the رحم, in the womb. Also the رحم, with the plural أرحم, أولو الأرحم, the relatives, يعني قرابة. So the word رحم, it has more than one meaning. But here the ulama, they say al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi, that it's a relationship, it's a tie of relationship. And just like when there are ties of relationship by blood, there's mercy between them. The ties of relationship between the mother and the father, between the mother and the child, there's mercy in between the father and the child, and the brothers and the sisters and the mothers and the fathers, there's mercy there. And there's mercy there. And likewise, similarly, the ulama, they mentioned from the people of knowledge and the students, and from the ulama and the students of knowledge, likewise, they have this tie. Knowledge, they don't have the tie of blood, but they have the tie of knowledge. Al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi. Al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi. It's a means of relationship and a tie and a bond of relationship that they have between them. But how is this bond? I'lam rahimakallah. It's a bond of mercy. It's a bond of mercy that the student, the teacher, he has mercy on the students. And that the student has mercy for the teacher. And they supplicate one another, and they love each other for the sake of Allah. And this is a relationship of mercy and kindness. It's a relationship of mercy and kindness. Ar-Rahman, He is the most gracious, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, He is the most gracious. And this is the knowledge of Ar-Rahman, and the deen of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman. Irhamu man fi al-ard, yarhamkum man fi al-sama. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned that those who are merciful to each other, Ar-Rahman shows them mercy. Be merciful to those who are in the earth, and the one who is in the heaven will be merciful to you. Will be merciful to you. So those who have the most right for that mercy is the people of knowledge and their students, and the students of knowledge. I'lam rahimakallah. And then also on top of that, this is coming from a righteous man. That he was a great scholar and knowledge. And we know that Allah, He mentioned about those people of knowledge, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. So he is from those people that would be considered the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, truly, حَقًّا. And that it's hoped that his supplication will be accepted. And here he is making supplication for us as we read. And we hope that we are from those that his supplication is accepted on our behalf. إِعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهِ. And may Allah have mercy on you. May Allah have mercy on you. أَنُّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلُّمُ عَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلِ. The author, he is also, not only is he merciful, also murabbi. Rabbi, he's teaching us the proper way and cultivating the students in more than one way. And if we pay attention to this, this is very important. What I'm going to tell you is very important and beneficial for you. Pay attention. May Allah have mercy on you. May Allah have mercy on you. And may Allah guide you to that which is good for yourself in this life and in the hereafter. May Allah forgive you for your sins and pardon you. That's what it means. May Allah have mercy on you. And may Allah forgive you your previous sins and give you success to stay away from them in the future. May Allah give you success to understand that which is good and to follow the right way. Rahimakallah. Rahimakallah. And he says, أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا. That it's obligatory upon us. He didn't say, Rahimahullah, يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ. Oh, يَجِبُ عَلَيْكُمْ. وَأَخْرَجَ نَفْسَهُ. He included himself. It's obligatory upon us. And me included. It's obligatory upon all of us to learn. And he didn't say it's obligatory upon you. Like this. This is not how he's speaking. He knows this something here is obligatory upon all of us. تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلٍ. That it's obligatory upon all of us to learn four. To learn four affairs. So whenever he says يَجِبُ, what do we understand from that? يَجِبُ. وَجَبَ يَجِبُ. الْوُجُوبًا. الْوُجُوب. مَا هُوَ الْوُجُوب. He's indicating something here. It's obligatory upon us. ليس مستحبا. يستحب لنا كذا وكذا. That's one thing. يجب علينا. This is something else. يحل لك كذا. يباح لك كذا. It's permissible for you, or it's halal for you, or it's preferred for you. He didn't say any of this. He said يجب علينا. It's obligatory for all of us. Obligatory for all of us. What do we understand from that? It's an obligation. What is an obligation? Al-wajib. The ulama, they speak about al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, al-taklifiyya. The rulings of the legislation, how many are they? The rulings in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal that we're held accountable for. And something in this life can either be wajib, or it can be the opposite of that, haram, or it can be mustahab, or mandub, masnoon, preferred. Or it can be the opposite of that, makruh. Or it can be mubah, permissible. These are the rulings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything in life falls under one of these categories with regards to the obligations of what we're held accountable for. With our speech and with our eyes, with our hands, with our feet, with food that we eat, with drinks that we drink, with words that we say, some of them are wajib. Some actions and statements, some beliefs are wajib. Some of them are haram. Some of them are preferred and recommended. And some of them are disliked. And some of them are permissible. Either way. So it's very good and beneficial for a Muslim to understand these five rulings here and the reality of them. What is something that's wajib? What does that mean? Aywa. Aywa. Ma. خبر ذلك أي ما يجر فاعله ويعاقب عليه تاركه. Now I'm the one that whoever something that's wajib that we understand. That's what he's telling us here. يجب علينا. The wajib is something that if one performs it, he receives a reward. If he doesn't perform it, he receives a punishment. Shaykhuna Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, he mentioned this is the definition many of the ulama of usul al-fiqh they mentioned al-wajib. نعم ما يثاب عليه فاعله ويعاقب عليه تاركه. The one who performs it, he has a reward, and the one who does not perform it, he leaves it off, then he has a punishment. Shaykh Sulaiman, he mentioned that a better understanding of that is ما يستحق عليه العقاب تاركه. The one who من يتركه يستحق العقاب, because it's not certain that the one who leaves off something that's impermissible will be punished, but he deserves a punishment. So we understand in general, every Muslim should know that something that's obligatory, if we know that it's wajib or fard, and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, that it's something that if you do it, you receive a reward. If you don't do it, you deserve a punishment. Meaning there's a sin. There's a sin there. It's an obligation. So the one who doesn't know these four things, he doesn't have these four things, what is he doing? He's committing a sin, because he's telling us here that this is an obligation. يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلٍ. It's obligatory to learn four affairs. So the one who doesn't learn these, he's sinning. He deserves a punishment. He deserves a punishment. He's not learning these four affairs. That's what we understand from this. He deserves a punishment. He deserves a punishment. The haram is the opposite. That if you leave it, you have a reward. You have a reward. But if you perform it, you deserve to be punished. Haram. Something that's haram. It's the opposite of the wajib. That's the opposite of the wajib. It's the opposite of the wajib. What's the mustahab? يُثَابُ عَلَيْهِ فَاعِلُهُ وَلَا يُعَقَبُ عَلَيْهِ تَارِكُهُ. And I'm the one who receives a reward if he does it, but he's not punished if he doesn't do it. Something that's sunnah, or mustahab, or mandub. All these words are synonyms. And the opposite of that is makruh. And then the one that's mubah, there's no blame either way. If he does it, there's no blame. If he doesn't do it, there's no blame. Like what? The mubahat is so many of them. Eating chicken. What do you want? He wants chicken or hamburger? Hamburger, khalas. This is mubah. It's mubah for him if it's slaughtered properly. Eating french fries or potatoes or wearing a thobe. This is all mubah. This is all mubah. This is from the mubahat are many. So the author here is telling us here about this. أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا. It's obligatory for us to learn four affairs. Meaning the one that falls short in learning these four affairs, he is sinning and deserves to be punishment. It's an obligation. It's an obligation to learn these four affairs. There's another important issue that ulama, they discuss when it comes to al-wajib or al-fard. Jumhur al-ulama, the wajib and the fard is the same thing. Wajib or fard, these words are the same thing. They have the same meaning. Whenever they talk about fard, they also have another type of division. Or wajib. Al-fard al-kifai wa al-fard al-ayni. Al-fard al-ayni is something that's obligatory upon every person. Nobody's excused. Something that is fard al-ayn is obligatory upon every person. That's what he's talking about here. يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا All of us. All of us. It's obligatory upon all of us. So there are some actions in the deen that are fard. But some of them are fard ayn and some of them are fard kifaya. There's a difference between the two. فَرْضْ عَيْنْ يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ فَرْضٍ عَلَى كُلِّ فَرْضٍ يعني من أفراد المسلمين everyone كل بالغ عاقل يعني everyone who has a sane mind and he reached the age of puberty is obligatory upon him. No excuse. As for فَرْضُ الْكِفَايَة the ulama they say من قام به إذا قام به بعض المسلمين سقط الإثم عن الباقين. That if some of the Muslims perform it, then the sin falls off on the rest of them. For example, Salat al-Janazah, Ahsantum. Salat al-Janazah. It's not obligatory for all of the Muslims to pray Janazah. Somebody who has something to do, it's permissible for him to leave the Salat al-Janazah and to not pray it. And there's not a blame on him. And there's no sin on him. He can leave it. But if all of them in the community, somebody, a Muslim died, and all of the Muslims left it and didn't pray on it, all of them will be sinning. As long as some of the Muslims establish that obligation, then the sin falls off the rest of them. The sin falls off the rest of them. He's not talking about this type of fard here. This type that he's talking about here is fard al-ayn, al-wajib al-ayni, the one that's obligatory upon everybody. That's what he says. أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. From those obligations, for example, salat is fard ayn على كل مكلف. صح مسلم مكلف. Now, like this. This is obligatory upon everybody. There are other actions that's obligatory upon everybody. Other actions that's obligatory upon everybody. It's obligatory upon every Muslim that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. It's an obligation upon every Muslim that all the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. Al-Muslim man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. Fard ayn, there's many types of fard ayn. From the farud al-ayniyya, the ones that are considered fard ayn, knowledge. There's a type of knowledge likewise that's fard ayn. And then there's a type of knowledge likewise that's fard kifaya. Fard ayn, like this knowledge here that he's talking about. Knowing who Allah is. Knowing the meaning of shahada la ilaha illallah. Knowing who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowing the meaning of ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And knowing the religion of Islam. Knowing that which is obligatory upon a person from the morning until the night. And in knowing what is obligatory upon him from the time he wakes up until the time he goes to bed and everything that he's involved in. From his obligations of active worship, of praying, and if it's Ramadan, of fasting, and if he has wealth, of giving charity, If he's going to be a doctor, what's permissible for him? If he's going to have a business, what's permissible for him? He has to learn these things. It's obligatory. If he didn't do them, he will be sinning. He'll be sinning. He's not excused. The other type of knowledge that is considered followed kifaya, like what? Knowledge. Type of knowledge. Ilm al-fara'id, for example, the knowledge of al-mawarith, to learn about the knowledge of the inheritance. To learn about the knowledge of inheritance. This is not obligatory upon every Muslim. But if all of the Muslims were to leave it, iyadhan billah, then all of them will be sinning. But as long as the group of them establish that, then it's sufficient. It's sufficient, and the sin falls off of the rest of them. The sin falls off of the rest of them. Sometimes something could be fard kifaya, but it could become yata'in fard yata'in ala wahid bi'ayni. And something could be, in its origin, not obligatory upon everybody. But in some instances, it could become obligatory upon one person, a specific individual. For example, the person who is going to have business, for example, all of this, if he has a business, for example. It's not obligatory for everyone to learn all the affairs, the details of business and what's permissible. Except if they're going to embark upon that type of business. Then they have to learn the rulings. It becomes obligatory upon him. Or likewise, if they're learning the deen, if everybody in the community is ignorant and none of them have learned, then it's obligatory upon one of them to learn. And to go learn the details of the deen, to come back to call. If nobody in the community knows Arabic language, it's obligatory upon somebody to learn the Arabic language, so that's established in the society. So that's established amongst the Muslims. And to learn Arabic language in detail and fluently is not obligatory. But to learn a portion of it, and it is obligatory. Enough to know, la ilaha illallah, enough to pray and establish the salat, for example. So we see that the author here is talking about al-farad al-ayni, that this is obligatory upon everybody. This is obligatory upon everybody. Everybody should feel that in their heart. This is obligatory upon me. If I know it, alhamdulillah. If I know it, then it's a good review for me. If I don't know it, I have to learn this. I have to feel in my heart, I have to learn. This is obligation. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He even mentioned the proof coming. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah commands to have knowledge that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Naam. So he says, أَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلٍ. It's obligatory upon us to learn four issues. To learn four issues. And that's all? Four issues? Huh? Only four? Any four issues with regards to this? But there's many other issues that's also obligatory to learn. There are other issues also that's obligatory to learn. So some of the ulama, they have called this little treatise here, Al-Masail Al-Arba'. Al-Masail Al-Arba'. Al-Muta'alika Bil-Ilm. Wal-Amal. Wal-Da'wah. Naam, the four issues. The four issues here, what are they? Al-Ula Al-Ilmu. Al-Ilmu. Knowledge. What is knowledge? He explained for you. It is to know Allah and is to know His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to know the religion of Islam with the proof. To know the religion of Islam with the proof. Whenever the word knowledge is used, and in the text it's referring to Al-Ilm Al-Shar'i. Al-Ilm Al-Shar'i. It's not talking about knowledge of engineering, or knowledge of computers, or knowledge of mechanics, but rather this is talking about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the knowledge of the religion of al-Islam with the proofs. Here is an indication here to al-usul al-thalatha. These are the usul al-thalatha here, but this treatise is not al-usul al-thalatha. But this is what's obligatory, an indication that now this treatise that we're learning is an obligation to learn this knowledge. An obligation to learn this knowledge. The first obligation, what is it? Al-ilm, knowledge. Knowledge. What is the reality of knowledge? What is the knowledge that he's referring to? Where does it come from? Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned some lines of poetry. We mentioned them before, more than one time. Al-ilmu, qala Allahu, qala Rasuluhu. قال الصحابة هم أولو العرفان. And if we can memorize this, and العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة هم أولو العرفان. ما العلم نسبق الخلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فلاني. Knowledge is what Allah said, and knowledge is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. This is knowledge. And knowledge is what the companions said. They are the people of understanding. They are the people of knowledge. Knowledge is not that somebody would have a difference of opinion between the Messenger and the opinion of so-and-so. That's not knowledge. No, what's the difference of opinion? So-and-so said this. You say, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said that. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this. Abu Bakr and Umar, they agreed about this, radiallahu anhumah. And then somebody said, we know what Sheikh so-and-so, or Sheikh so-and-so, or so-and-so. La, that's not knowledge. That's not knowledge. Knowledge is, قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة هم أولو الألفاني. Also, Ibn Qayyim, he had another definition of knowledge, which is also very, very beneficial. Very, very, he says, العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. ما ذاك والتقليل يستويان. Knowledge, what is knowledge? Knowledge is to know the guidance with its proof. To know the guidance with its proof. This and blind following is not equal. لا يستويان. This and blind following is not equal. And to know the guidance with proof. This is the deen. The deen is المسألة ودليلها. المسائل والدلائل. المسائل والدلائل. What does he say? And then تعالى أربع مسائل. والدليل قوله تعالى. We have to learn four affairs and the proof, and four issues, and the proof is this, and the proof is this. This is the way. الدليل, العلم معرفة الهدى. معرفة الهدى بدليله. To know the guidance with its evidence. To know the guidance with its evidence. From those ulama who have commentary on this work, Abdurrahman ibn Qasim, al-Najdi, al-Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a hashiyah. It's just a brief commentary upon Usul al-Thalatha. He has many, many benefits. And from them, he says, he mentioned some benefit from the author. From the author. يعني نقل فائدة من كلام المصنف رحمه الله تعالى. قال المصنف, يعني the author, Shaykh Muhammad ibn al-Wahhab, رحمه الله, he said in another treatise, يعلم رحمك الله. And again, أن طالب العلم فريضة وأنه شفاء للقلوب المريضة. وأن أهم ما على العبد معرفة دينه الذي معرفته والعمل به سبب لدخول الجنة والجهل به وإضاعته سبب لدخول النار أعاذنا الله منها أعاذنا الله منها. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى in another treatise, another work that he has, may Allah have mercy on you. No, may Allah have mercy on you, that seeking knowledge is an obligation and it is the cure for the sick hearts. The hearts become sick. The hearts become weak and deficient. And the iman, what happens to the iman? إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ. That verily the iman, it becomes weak in the heart. It weakens. يَخْلَق, like for example a thawb, or somebody wears a garment, like pants. If somebody works in pants and for some time and bending their knees, sometimes where the knees go, it gets thinner and it gets thinner and it gets thinner. It gets thinner. The iman, the Prophet ﷺ inside, if he jofi ahadikum, it does like this. يَخْلَقُ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ أَيَّبْلَى وَيَدْعُفُ. It becomes weak. What happens pretty soon? It starts to tear. The thawb, the pants. After some time, you find it changes color. It lightens. It gets thinner. Then it tears. It frays. Pretty soon, it's a big hole. Pretty soon, they're finished. You have to get new ones. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَسَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So the shifa, this knowledge, the knowledge, it is the cure for the hearts that are sick. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ قَالَ صَحَابَتُهُ مُولَ الْفَانِي. Now this is the what is this? This is cure for the heart. Cure for the heart. This is cure for the heart. How many people had a sick heart? And then they sat in the gathering of the people of knowledge. They sat in the gathering where the hadith are being mentioned. Sat in the gathering where the Quran is being recited. Sat in the gathering where the halal and the haram is being clarified. جَلَسِ فِي مَجَلَسِ الذِّكْرِ فِي حِلَقِ الذِّكْرِ. He sat in the gatherings of knowledge and he found his heart was cured. His heart was cured. He used to have desires. He used to have whims. He heard the good speech from the imam or from the likes like this. And then his heart was cured. His heart was cured. This is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Knowledge, he says, seeking knowledge is an obligation and it is the cure for the sick hearts. And it is the most important thing upon the servant. وَأَنَّ أَهَمَّ مَا عَلَى الْعَبْدِ مَعْرِفَةُ دِينِهِ. And if this is something that a believer, he should feel like this. He must know this. This must be in the heart. Like in the previous one, the previous treatise that we read, what did he say? After having knowledge and muhabbah, al-azm, you have to have determination. This should be in the heart. The person be determined to understand this and follow it. That the most important thing upon a servant is that he knows his deen. He knows his deen. How, yani, aib, shadid, that somebody doesn't know his deen. He's a Muslim, he doesn't know his deen. He's a Muslim, he doesn't know Allah. Who is Allah? Man rabbuk? And he will say, go like this, go like, maybe he'll even fall into tashbih. Or maybe he'll fall into ta'til. Maybe he'll make takif. He doesn't know who his Lord is. He doesn't know who his Lord is. A Muslim. Who was your prophet? Man nabiyuk? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe he doesn't know. He said, أَهَمُّ مَا عَلَى الْعَبْدِ مَعْرِفَةُ دِينِهِ. The most important thing. More important than having a job. More important than having a degree in Hendasa. Or more important than this one or that one. Is to know your deen. The most important thing is to know your religion. To know your religion with proofs. And he says, أَلَذِي مَعْرِفَتُهُ وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ سَبَبٌ لِدُخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. The most important thing for the servant is to know his religion. And that's because the religion and knowing it and working by way of it is the means to enter paradise. وَالْجَهَلُ بِهِ وَيَضَعَتُهُ سَبِبٌ لِدْخُولِ النَّارِ. And ignorance and neglecting the religion is the reason for entering the hellfire. Is the reason for entering the hellfire. May Allah protect us from the hellfire, he says. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is the case. This is the case. Abdurrahman ibn Qasim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned after that, al-ilmu bihi hayat al-Islam wal-Muslimin. By way of knowledge, knowledge is the life of the Muslims and then the life of Islam. If you go to some masajid that don't have knowledge, there's no students of knowledge upright upon the sunnah, you will see them and it's like they're on a different deen. Hayat al-Islam, al-ilmu hayat al-Islam. Many people, they're applying, and they're Muslims, but if you see them, they're not applying Islam. Even we can look at ISIS and the people on TV, they're claiming Islam, Islam, Quran, Sunnah is blowing people up and killing people. That's not Islam. That's not Islam. That's not Islam. That's something else. That's another deen. That's the deen of the Khawarij. Mukharifun. They're contrary, opposing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's not Islam. You go to the Sufi, the Masjid of the Sufi. They're praying, they're standing in Salah, but it's different. It's not Islam. They're doing something different. And what they're doing, they're working very hard, but it's mardud alayhim. Mardud alayhim. Whoever does a deed that's not in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet, it's rejected, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's rejected. So, al-Islam is based upon knowledge. Knowledge first. And knowledge, by way of knowledge, that is the life of Islam. Hayatul Islam. Wa hayatul muslimin. And if the life, Islam will be, the sunnah will be revived. At Tawheed will be revived. You will see the Islam. Islam is the Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. Islam is the Islam that the companions, radiyallahu anhum, was upon. By way of knowledge, correct knowledge from the correct sources, the Islam, it comes to life. Islam, it will be spread correctly. But first, the Muslims, they have to learn. They have to learn. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.